All right, well, good morning, ladies. Moms, how are ya? Good, good, good. All right. So we're going to be talking with some moms, listening in on their lives and experiences, and I have a list of questions which I've given them last night at midnight. No, I gave it to them a week ago. And they will answer as they want. So I'm going to ask a question. We're not going to expect all four of them to answer each of the questions. So if they're silent on a question, don't read into it. We're just going to have a neat conversation together. And as we go through it, they'll answer as they will. No doubt, I may throw in a couple more questions as the conversation goes. Like most talk, don't worry about those extra questions. It'll just be the conversation, okay?
But it can't be more intense than the ones you already gave us. I think it'd be more intense than that one.
So, like most talk shows, interviews, and podcasts, you never know what you're going to get. And so now, no matter your place in life, and many of you are not moms, right? We're not moms, but look for a kernel of truth. Look for an encouragement or a life challenge that you will take and that you can take with you this life, this week, and in your life. All right? So it'll be a neat encouragement as we look at that whole thing. Okay. Are you ready? First question. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? Your name, rank, serial number, SIN number. No, just your name and your family. Good. We'll start right at the end there. That's all. Just talk.
Okay. Can you guys hear me? No, I'm not.
Oh, you were.
It's a red one. Pass that over there. Go ahead.
My name's Rachel, and I'm a mom to Hudson, Jesse, and Sadie. Ages 10, 9, and 7.
I'm Carol.
I'm Carol. We have three boys, Brett, Matthew, and Carter. And as of September, we're going to be empty nesters.
I'm Becky. I have a son, Scott. He's 19, almost 20. And Holly is 17.
I'm Brandy. I have 5 kids. Kalia's the oldest, and then I've got Oliver, Hayden, and Samuel, and then another girl at the end, Mila.
All right, good, good. So what do you enjoy about being a mom?
I enjoy the one-on-one talks we have. Yeah, whether it be Scott from out in Saskatchewan calling, or just sharing his heart, or Holly sharing what her day at school or things that are going on. Those are good moments. Those are awesome.
I love seeing how they've grown up, seeing them from when they're so little, and then seeing all the changes along the way. I do love like talking to them, listening to them, hearing what's going on, their perspective. And I also really enjoy having fun together, laughing. Many meals go into a completely ridiculous conversation where everybody's just making it more ridiculous as we go along, and it's fun to laugh and laughing so hard to cry together.
I love getting to know them, like just how they're all so different from each other, and they have their own strengths and their own ways of making you laugh or smile. They're all just so great in their own way, and that's fun.
I remember asking my dad before we had kids, is it fun having kids? And he laughed at me like that was the funniest question. He said, I don't know if I'd say it's fun, he said it's rewarding. And I think he's right, but little kids are very funny. Like my kids do say very funny things and I write them down. And I also really enjoy feeding my kids because they appreciate food a lot.
Personalities, figuring out who they are. They came from the same parents and yet they're so different. It's fascinating. When you found out you were to become a mom, what went through your heart and mind?
For me, our first baby was a miscarriage. And so when we found out that we were expecting Hudson, I was very excited, but also very scared to go through that kind of grief again. And so with each month of the pregnancy, it was more and more exciting. And then when I felt him kicking, that was even more exciting. And but yeah, there was like a level of anxiety that went along with it because of our first baby.
I was super pumped. With Scott, I was like, what? It happened already? That was quick. With Holly, I'm like, really? It took this long? But it was very exciting. I've always wanted to be a mom, so that was, God answered that prayer.
Yeah. Wow.
Mine was very similar to Rachel. Had a miscarriage the first time, and so the second time, it's nervous. And then also just thinking about, like, how our lives would change. You don't really know until you have the baby there, but knowing that our life was very good. We were both had great jobs, had extra money, could travel, could do what we wanted, and just not knowing how much a baby would all affect that.
Yeah. So what do you find difficult about being a mom?
Not being able to always get rest when we need it. Also not letting all of our emotions spill out onto our kids when we're having a bad day or struggling with something. And then I guess also like when hard situations come up or they ask difficult questions, not feeling like prepared for that or not knowing if we have the wisdom for that. So
letting go. It starts really when they are babies and you go on your first date. And it just continues. We continue to have to let them go. And let them go 8.5 hours away to college. Mm-hmm. That's tough too.
What do you hope for your family? What do you hope for?
I hope that we'll always enjoy being together. That that we will all, just look forward to those times of coming home, being together, catching up, laughing together, playing games together. That's what I believe.
For my kids, for my family, we've been through some very hard things in the last few years. They've seen me go through chemotherapy and just some really hard stuff. And so my hope is that they always trust and believe that God loves them and that they're important to Him.
What do you fear for your family?
I fear that God will take the room before me. Mm.
Yeah. For a lot of parents, that's one of the biggest fears, that our kids would go before us. So, yeah, that's a very real fear. I often find myself praying for the safety of my kids and grandkids. So, yeah, it's huge.
I remember when we had Hudson, Becky had given me a poem, and in the poem it said something like, having a child is like wearing your heart outside of yourself. Mm. And I was like, that is so true.
Yeah. Wow.
For me, the hope and fear one kind of go together. Like what my hopes are for my family and what my fears are for them, because what you hope is that they will continually seek out God's truth. I want them to ask questions, but I always just fear that if they go to the wrong place for those answers, that it will draw them away from God. So I just really hope that in their lives, in their whole lives, that they will have community surrounding them that will draw them close to Jesus, and that they will continue. continually go to people that they trust for those questions,
yeah,
and seek the truth of God from the Bible.
Yeah, and good advisors. Yeah, good. What's one lesson that has either been taught to you by your mom or you just observed from her that has helped you being a mom? What is a lesson that was either taught to you or you observed that helps you in you being a mom?
That one was easy for me. Patience. I think my mom is the most patient person that I know, and also like such a cheerful servant for her family. Like, she just continually gives of herself and never complains, and she's just amazing in so many ways. So yeah, patience, and definitely just like keeping that cheerful servant heart.
For my mom always seems to believe the best about other people. And growing up, I don't ever remember her talking negatively about others or talking negatively about herself. And gossip was just not a thing. Like, she would just change the subject. And that, I think, I've recognized that more as I've gotten older. And just the thought that it matters what my kids hear me say, and what my kids hear me say about myself. So I'm thankful for that encouragement that I've had from her.
For one thing that I really appreciate about my mom, she's very hardworking, lots, like, two huge gardens outside. Sewed everything. She just worked so hard. So there's always work to do, but she definitely found that working for a bit and then doing something fun. So we would, you know, say, let's work for an hour, and then we'll play some games, have some Coke and some chips or whatever, do something. Or in the summer, it was always like, okay, let's work outside for a little bit, and then I'll take you swimming in town for an hour. And that was pretty much every day through the summer, it was like that. And so it was always a balance of work, but make sure that there's fun mixed in as well.
Yeah, and you grew up in a large family, right?
There's five of us.
Five of us.
That's so small.
I know. How many were in your family?
10.
Yeah, okay, but that's still a lot to take swimming, to go out and do different things, right? So, yeah, 10, that's a whole other topic, but yeah.
My mom passed when I was 8, so I don't have a lot of memories of her. I do remember one day, I had been at kindergarten in the morning, the day before, and then she comes home. I came home and I was like, what do you want to do? I said, let's make butter. We did it at school. So she made butter with me. I don't even know what it tastes like. I have no idea. But I love that she just stopped and took the time to do that. Because she passed away so young, for me, I had to learn a lot of the cultural foods, how to make them for my mother-in-law. And I'm so thankful for that. Because my mom and my mother-in-law were both from Frida's, and they both grew up in the GC conference, like general conference, and their recipes were the same. And so my mother-in-law, mom, she could teach me everything that my taste palate was used to, and it was so good. And I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, wow, good. So being where you are now in your journey as a mom, what would you tell your younger self? Where you are right now, what would you tell your younger self?
Relax. and just not to compare yourself. I know it's super hard, especially, I'm sure, with social media, but your kids are unique, you are unique, your husband's unique. You are not going to be like everybody else. And whether your kid is tall, short, whether they read fast, walk fast, whatever, it's take it like, just be thankful for your child where they're at.
I think I was going to say the same thing. Like, just chill out, Rachel. I think to extend more grace to myself, I think when you become a parent, you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And then you realize nobody knows what they're doing and everybody's winging it. And even thinking about my parents, I'm like, wow, when they had me, they really didn't know what they were doing either. But you learn as you go, and there's also a lot of joy in the everyday and the process too.
For me, I would say just let them be their age. It's okay. It's okay they want to hug you in public and give you a kiss and nuzzle with you, and yeah, some days I miss those moments. Can't have them back, but that's okay. I wish I'd be able to talk about that a little bit sooner.
All right. It's not in the list, but what's one of the funnest memories that you have as a family or with one kid, or just each of you just share a fun memory?
Mine is when we took the RV out to the States for like a 5-week trip, took the kids out of school. We just had the best family time. Our kids grew up in a neighborhood where they always had friends to play with. So I know I was like a little hesitant, like, will they be okay? Just the five of them for 5 weeks, but they did so great. And we just had so many amazing family memories, just the best time. Just would have loved to do that again, but then COVID came upon us.
One thing that stood out at that five weeks that you can think of, and we can come back to you, but one thing that stands out to you about that 5 weeks?
I think it was just seeing everybody work together when we would get to a new spot and set the camper up and then settle into the new place and be so excited to see the new spot, like when we got to Lake Mead by the Hoover Dam there, then we just had our first meal outside, like, and it was just felt like so like, oh yeah, this is what we wanted, just this relaxed family time.
Yeah, good.
Going on our trips, I can't even think of which one that was more memorable than the rest, but I think just watching them as they explore new things, like the first flight we took, or the first time to see the ocean, or going to Disney World with family or friends, or they're all so good. I can't even tell you which one was the best, but they're all fabulous.
Yeah, there's been a lot, but one thing that stands out is went to California and stayed at the Legoland Hotel, and I mean, in the elevator there's disco music and lights and it was so fun, and then right outside the elevator there's this big patch that if you jump on it, it farts, and so that was a big highlight for our two boys. Very fun. And their breakfast buffet was amazing, where we told the boys they could have whatever they want, and so Carter just had a big bowl of sprinkles.
I have lots of favorite memories. One that stands out to me is hiking Johnson's Canyon with my whole family. It was so beautiful, and I was so proud of our kids that they did that whole hike. We had to distract Sadie for half of that hike to pretend that we were somewhere else, because every step was like torture to her by the end. But she did it, and it was fun. Like, Cody got very strong that hike because he had to carry her a bunch. But it was just neat that, we weren't in the baby stage anymore, and I was healthy enough to do that, and it was a blessing to do it with the five.
Wow, good. Let's switch gears a little bit. And I don't think it's a question I sent you, but it came to me earlier this morning. This is a different part of being a mom. Talk to me about being an aunt, but not an aunt. An aunt. You have nieces and nephews. It's kind of like a mother, it can be. Talk to me about being an aunt.
It is the most fun thing ever. I've been an aunt since I was 5. And being 5 and being an aunt and being a 45-year-old and being an aunt is very different. But I remember going to school as a 5-year-old telling my friends, I'm an aunt, and they just couldn't understand. Rightfully so, because I came from a big family. But I love the moments where we can just have a great time, and then moments where we're like, hey, Auntie Becky, I need your help. Or the in-laws come in and start calling Tante Aunt, Tante Becky, and it was, yeah, I don't know, there's just, it's a whole different world, and it's fantastic. So hopefully you, if you haven't had that chance, hopefully you get blessed in that area to do that.
We were very close with some of my nephews and niece, and they would spend, we'd have them overnight before we had kids, and it was lots of fun, and it was the first time where, I had a child ask nonstop questions for probably like an hour in front of them, like, ask your kindergarten teacher. And so it kind of prepared me for like, okay, so sometimes there's challenges.
I felt kind of lucky that my nieces and nephews all kind of came after my kids. Most of them are younger than my kids, so I was a little more free to, you know, when my sister-in-laws were trying to eat, I could hold their baby for them at meal times, because that was something that was always challenging as a new mom, like, everybody's eating, but nope, the baby is hungry right now. yeah, so that was neat, and actually, I have thought a lot about being an aunt lately, and I think we have someone in our church here who is an amazing aunt to her family, and that's Rose. And I've often thought about how, like, she has this amazing relationship with her nieces and nephews, and that's inspired me to want to make an effort to, like, you know, not just wait for my sister-in-laws to ask me if I can babysit, but offer, say, like, hey, if you need a day off, like, I can take your kids for a couple of hours, or just want to build that relationship with them and help them know that there's someone else in their life that really cares about them.
Yeah, I think that's so important. It's a unique place. The aunts and uncles that can play in families, and I've read that in one of my mission statements that, well, you know, I'm a husband, a father, a grandfather, and also an uncle, and we don't always play the aunt uncle role like we could. It's a neat another side of life that we can really pour into other people, and sometimes, like, they'll ask questions that they won't ask mom and dad, but they trust you. Because of your position in the family, so really crucial. Talk to me about your grandmothers.
My grandma on my dad's side is 87, and she is my hero. She just has such a joy about her, and she's a very funny lady. She's pranked many people. She also has like a prison ministry that she does. She still hosts all like 40 of us at her house, makes the food, and yeah, she's just really amazing. And her husband passed, my grandpa passed away when he was quite young of a heart attack, and it was very sudden. And I've never heard her complain. I've never heard her feel sorry for herself. She will currently have to move to a smaller home, just because she's getting older, and one of my cousins had asked her, are you excited to move? It's hard, like, she's leaving this home that she's been in for a long time, and she said, you know what, I just want to embrace change and be thankful for all the good gifts that God has given me. And I was like, wow, like, she's just such a good role model for me, and her love for Jesus is evident in the way that she serves her family and, yeah, everyone around her, and I'm always just really thankful for her.
I was very close with my grandma on my mom's side. She passed away while Scott and I were engaged, so she's never seen me as a mom. But she was such a prayer warrior for her family. She just spent her life praying and making connections with people. Like, everybody in the community basically called her Tante Rosie. Like, she was just the type that if you would come chat with her, she would probably overshare lots of times, but she was like very honest and wore her heart on her sleeve and just a very open person and also cared a lot about other people's stories. And I just always strive to take that from her in my own life as well.
That's a good encouragement. Any of you who are grandmothers, that is a key role. At least in my life, my grandmother was incredible and so encouraging. Okay, last question. What's a scripture verse or a song or a biblical principle that has been helpful and encouraging to you as a mom? And maybe that's already kind of been answered in you, and if you need to repeat it, that's fine. But what is a scripture verse, a song, a biblical principle that has been helpful and encouraging to you as a mom?
Theme kind of for me the last couple of years has been that God is fighting my battles for me. And so Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged." And so two songs that I sometimes play on repeat are Battle of the Lungs by Phil Wickham, which says, "When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved." And then of course, when I'll fight on my knees. And the other song is "You've Already Won" by Shane and Shane. And there it says too, "So I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hands. And all I need to go."
Psalm 139, verse 13, 14. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Each of us are. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well."
Remember holding Hudson as an infant and just like you're overcome for this love that you have for this little person. And I remember God just speaking to me in that moment and being like, "I love him even more than you do." And it's hard to grasp. I didn't think I can grasp that. And then the thought of, "I love Hudson so much, God actually gave his son for me." And yeah, I don't think I can fully understand the significance of that, but or that kind of love, but it's such an encouragement.
I have a verse that I wrote on the doorposts of our home as we were building it, and it was, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." And just something that God has been teaching me in regards to that verse is that we are all human, we're all imperfect, and we will all have faults, but we can make allowance for those faults because of our love for each other and because of God's love for us. And being a parent really shows you how patient God is. How many times in a day do we tell our kids the same thing? And sometimes we get frustrated, like, "Oh, I've been telling you your entire life not to do this, and you're still doing it." But how much more does God feel that for us? Because he's perfect, and we are the ones who are like keep learning and keep making mistakes, but he is just grace and grace and grace for us.
Wow, good. Thank you, ladies. This has been really good. So around your table, yeah, you can give them a hand if you want. So around your table, I want you to talk about your moms. And I know for some of us, our moms are gone. My mom's been gone for many years. But I just want you around the table, just talk about your moms and what you remember about your moms, okay? So go ahead, take a few minutes to do that, and then Cody and Scott will lead us in the final song. And one more thing, there's flowers around the back table there. Those are for any moms and grandmothers, and any lady over 18. 18 and over, you can grab yourself a flower, all right? So any lady 18 and over, moms, grandmothers, wherever you are, help yourself. All right? So, thank you, ladies.